Hello and welcome back to episode 55 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig. With me, as always, is my co-host here, Dread. Dread, welcome back.
Hello, this is Dread. And in today's podcast topic, with the cycle refresh coming around and with no balance changes whatsoever being pushed in this cycle refresh, we thought it would behoove us to talk about all of the builds that will still be strong in the cycle refresh that we have been proven to be good this time around.
So we have a list of builds that we're going to be talking about. These are OP builds. There's some giga strong builds in here. There are some outliers that are particularly strong. And to round it out, we're going to list out some builds that are strong. They're a little bit weaker than the totally OP builds, but they are still strong for other masteries in case you wanted to do something with those masteries instead. So they'll have at least one build per mastery here. On top of that, we also have this 1.1 cycle refresh. There's lots of news posts that have been going out on the Last Epoch forums talking about, should we do this? There was a poll asking for people to give their opinions on it. And we're not going to go over the entire news post, but we'll talk a little bit about the 1.1 refresh, a little bit about our thoughts on it, some of the extra information that they released just today on Friday the 13th. Wait a minute. I just realized that right now. I'm like, oh, it is Friday the 13th. Look at that. So there's just a couple things to talk about here. Where do we want to get started? Started with the 1.1
refresh? There's one thing that is important that we do need to bring
go
up
ahead.
Here.
What you got?
So the main thing we need to bring up is why we're making a list about these builds. Because normally, you know, a lot of people for the history of Last Epoch, people have been like, hey, you don't need a build guide to get started. You don't need a build lined out for you to get started.
Which I hold true.
I think is hold true. I agree. But over the past patch or two, with the introduction of favor gain and how it works, favor farming, generally, if you're playing specifically COF, I'm going to mention here, if you're playing Circle of Fortune, not getting enough favor is a very bad issue to have in COF because, like, I'm sure Perry, you can go into it
because it means you can't engage with the prophecy system and you can't engage with it as often, and that's your payoff for being COF. So you really need to get favor gain.
It becomes exponential because what happens is if you're in low corruption farming with a map build, you don't get as much favor, which means you don't get as much gear. So your gear doesn't get that much better, so you don't push as fast. But if you play a build that's good, right, that's really good, even without any gear, you push into higher corruptions, you farm favor faster, which means you get more gear, which means you're at an exponential advantage towards someone that is playing a worse off build, which I think is why we're going to bring up all these builds, because if you want to skip all that nonsense, here's a list of builds.
Well, people like OP builds too. So one of the big things I think COF has over Merchant's Guild is, like, you can basically deterministically get a Red Ring of Alaria, and like a good build is going to get a Red Ring of Alaria faster because it gets to higher corruption, it gets more favor, it cycles through more prophecies, it gets to that point. And a bad build, or like a less powerful build, one that requires more gear or maybe just has a lower ceiling to it, it's going to take a lot longer for that character to get a red ring. So that's the perspective that we have going on here.
And by the way, we are just mentioning cycle, like starting the cycle. Like, you could, like, for instance, like, there are plenty of builds you could play later in the cycle that don't feel as bad in this regard, but they need gear to function, while these builds that we're going to bring up are builds that are just going to kind of function right out of the gate, and they're just good to go for the most part, other than like a few things here or there. But like, they could easily work on mostly exalted gear for most of the builds that we're talking about, or they have builds that are very close to them that would function till you get the unique they need, stuff like that. Like, things to make very easily on day one, day two of the patch.
All right, so before we talk about the builds and the list of builds we're going to go over, let's talk about the 1.1 cycle refresh. We had a poll go out. We have extra information about the poll. One thing has changed. So during this refresh, there's going to be a couple interesting things going on. It does sound like there's going to be some kind of MTX for people who participate. So I would say at least log in and do something, because we don't know exactly how to get the MTX, but, you know, MTX
is good. Kill some skeletons.
I like MTX. That's fun. You will have more reputation gain, which means you get to rank 12 faster. We have more favor gain, which previously was not the case, but there was a lot of community outcry about it. So they added that one in. So more favor gain. Cool. More gold drop rate so that you can afford things. But doesn't more gold mean that the price will be... Ignore that. And then also more random unique item drops. So I guess that's fun. That's not where I get my unique items
from. I will say more gold does make it easier to get to your max stashes and CLF so you can lag faster.
Cool. Love that. Other things that we know, there's going to be a loot lizard. So these are little monsters, and they said there's a bunch of variety of them. There'll be five different types of loot lizard, each one offering different pools. Maybe there'll be one that has like a bunch of unique items that drop. Maybe there'll be one that has a bunch of maybe set items that drop. Oh, so we'll see. We don't have too much information about that, but loot lizards, they look cute. I'm happy to see those guys here. We have new shrines. They said 20 plus new shrines. And I think the way that they got to the number 20 was just doing a bunch of different skills that auto cast.
Because it was exactly that sounds like what they did, right? It was exactly what we thought they were going to do. It was like one-to-one exactly what we thought they were going to do, like 100%. Like,
there's no way it's going to be like 20 different
interesting ones. There's the Mario shrine, though, the one that like gives you the star power. I hope it's just as fun as like...
We don't know what the star power is. They said... What was the word they used? They said rainbow something?
Yeah, the rainbow shrine. I would love to put on the... rainbow shrine's going to be great.
Do you think the rainbow shrine is everything?
I think the rainbow shrine just makes you immortal and vast, just like the star in like Mario.
That's so boring. It should do everything. Yeah. Okay, so they said some of the new shrines you'll encounter will automatically cast player skills. Hammer Throw, Chaos Bolts, Warpath, Shadow Cascade, Flame Reeve. There's 15 of those ability shrines. And then they said the word rainbow somewhere, didn't they?
Yeah.
Call it's for the Phoenix. Oh, Rainbow Shrine. The all-powerful new Rainbow Shrine. I hope the Rainbow Shrine casts all the skills like at the same time. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be fun too. You turn into vampire survivors at that point.
Actually, it would, wouldn't it? It sounds like some hot nonsense. So I don't know. Cool, dude. There's some stash tab priority. They detailed what the stash tab priority system is going to look like. It's what I was imagining. It's basically like auto sort when you're shift clicking your items into your stash, which sounds amazing for me. That's really good for like the mental load of organizing stuff. Bizarre improvements, affix subtype selection. Cool, cool, cool.
I actually have something to talk about in that regard. So
yeah, go ahead.
I, in my video talking about the stash tab priority stuff, I did bring up this point, which I think is important to realize, is so we have stash tab priority in Path of Exile, of course. That's why we're getting it in Last Epoch. And I think the major difference here for Last Epoch and Path of Exile is in Path of Exile, most of my currency and my liquid fluidity is in terms of currency, div cards, maps, and stuff. And they go into a stash tab. If you don't know, you can buy stash tabs that stack each of the items up. So you don't need like 50 different stash tabs for your maps. You just have one, and the stash tab priority goes into that, right? You like not much of your wealth in Path of Exile is in raw things that like take up inventory space, like items. And usually that means you only need like maybe 10 stash tabs and maybe one dump stash tab, stuff like that. While in Last Epoch, it's a little different because your currency, quote unquote, is items. Like it's not like Path of Exile where, you know, all of my stuff is in Divine's Liquid. It's all just items I pick up off the ground. And even more so with COF. COF, it's even worse in that regard, which means that I think that's why stash tabs are such a big problem right now for people, is because, you know, all of my wealth is the gear that I drop on the ground, which I think is amazing. That's good. I think that was the point with Last Epoch. But I think because of that, because the fact that your wealth is tracked by how much gear you have, right? I think that's what's making the stash tab stuff so much worse than it should be. In theory, if you think about it in comparison, like Path of Exile.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I think the stash tab priority doesn't help as much, because what will happen, I think, is you're going to set up all your priorities and then you're going to like be putting stuff in your stash tabs, but then, oh, it's full. I got to go fix that. Oh, that one's full. I got to go fix that.
It's full, and then you go make a new one.
Yeah, you go make a new one, but the problem is you're going to have to do that all the time because, you know, you're picking up a lot of gear in Last Epoch. It's not like as if, you know, you're... Like your stash tabs are just plumb full of gear all the time. And I feel like they need to probably you know, acknowledge the fact that because the fact that gear is the way we track wealth, that we need a better way of stashing our gear. Like, for instance, would you really think it would be that overpowered or bad if after a while you could get a stash upgrade that just throws your stat, like, it's God, there's like, okay, I'm gonna bring up something weird here.
Go so on.
It's from Minecraft. It's a Minecraft mod, okay? It's a mod for Minecraft. What it does is it's kind of like a computer system where you can throw all your gear and equipment into and your items into, and you can just search into it. It's like a big giant, like, I don't know, big giant tab that everything goes into, mm-hmm. and you can search for it later on and use like all the search query terms mm-hmm. that they're giving us. I think something like that, in theory, would be the ultimate solution.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Yeah, give me a loot filter for my stash.
And it could be like a progression reward. I feel like as though we, like, since Last Epoch is making so many steps in the right direction and changing so many things and doing so many different things, that's something that they could be the first to do, is make stash tab management not a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So I want to say, like, the stash tab affinity stuff that they're talking about right now, like, for me and how I organize my stash tabs, and like, I've made videos on it, I think it's going to feel amazing. So, like, I don't want to critique it too much because I want to play with it.
I'm just saying that, like, I think that it will matter less than, like, what you think it would because, like you said, the reason why I feel so good in Path of Exile is the items that I'm dumping into these stash tabs, they never fill up, quote unquote, or they don't mm-hmm. fill up as quickly. So I never have a problem with it.
Listen, if I can search for the word mage without pulling up every item that has damage written on it.
Yeah.
That'd be a huge quality of life.
Yeah, I agree. That would be amazing. Yeah.
It's kind of nonsense. All right. So there's one thing that you and I mentioned about this 1.1 refresh. And, like, we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to get into this build list that we've been teasing here. So this is something you and I talked about just before the podcast started. And that is, like, what are we doing about legacy? So for those of you who don't know, we had this poll go out saying, like, if you're against doing a cycle refresh, what would be the biggest detractor for you? And it seems like there were a lot of people out there who straight up said that legacy makes my character feel irrelevant. Once they're legacy, I don't want to play it anymore, which I agree with. I think in the modern era of action RPGs that are being seasonal based and cyclical, that you want a fresh restart. You want to progress your character over 2, 3, 4, 5 months and then restart after that. So EHG has this interesting sentence here that says, one of the big things we want to dive into more is why players feel their character becomes irrelevant when transferring characters to legacy and what we can do to alleviate that feeling.
Well, the first big thing for COF specifically in this regard is just the stash tab stuff we just brought up, like managing your stash. Like, so you have your stash in legacy, which is 200 stash tabs that are plumb full. Then you bring your cycle character, which is 200 plus stash tabs that are plumb full. And you only have 200 stash tabs, right? Now, also as well, another problem as well is if you've only played cycle and you've never played legacy, I'm pretty sure you don't have stash tabs when you go over to legacy. I think people have been complaining about that. That's another thing. Like, so when you do finally transition to legacy, you have 200 stash tabs that are plumb full, or they're remove only, and you have no stash tabs to put stuff into because it's a fresh account, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, those are two big things that I can imagine that would easily keep most people away. Then there's, like, more psychological things where, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I finished my build, I'm good. Like, it's like,
I don't think this is a problem to be solved. I'd be shocked if this is something that EHG can make changes about and change, like, my psychology about it. But I would be curious to find out what they can discover on this front, because, like, it's the same character, right? Like, I want to progress this character. Why not progress in legacy? And, like, legacy has, you know, all my other gears over there, all my other shits over there. And instead of having, like, my COF character, like, I'm a COF person, but instead of having, like, the solo experience where this character earned all this gear and this, you know, this seasonal character earned all this gear, all of a sudden, like, you dump it into legacy and it's like, okay, well, my great, great, great grandpa, you know, found this pair of gloves and it's great for me. I got it for free. Like, it doesn't feel the same. Where's my pride and accomplishment?
I think offline fills that niche a lot more for people that would care about legacy mm-hmm. or the kind of people that would want to play offline anyways and do stuff like that. There's, and then there's like there's the Merchant's Guild side of it, where like you go into off like Legacy Merchant's Guild, and it's just like, I'll be honest, like it's just like standard in Path of Exile. Mm. It's like everything's so expensive, and you know, it takes forever for you just to be able to afford one item or whatever, except for like very basic need stuff. Like, I don't know how the legacy market is, but eventually it will become that, as we've seen in Path of Exile. It's like,
true.
It will, the market will devolve eventually. It will happen. I don't know.
I want to equate this to something real quick. So yeah. Just saying, like, I don't think there's a problem to be solved. EHE made another comment somewhat recently. I think it was in the previous blog post before this Friday the 13th thing came up. And they said that they wanted to work on a number of things like performance and dungeons and this and this and this and the new user onboarding experience. And to me, it's kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, where like, I don't really think the new user onboarding experience for Last Epoch needs any work. I think on the whole list of everything that EHD could spend their time working on for Last Epoch, like that's pretty far down. I think Last Epoch is a new player-friendly game. I think you can jump in and not use build guides. You can have fun for a long time. You and I have ideas about how it could be better, but like, for all the things that would make Last Epoch a better game, I think that's really far down. And this thing about like legacy feels similar to that. Like I'm surprised to see them include this sentence here, where it's like, we want to work on this. And it's like, really? Of all the things in Last Epoch, that's what you want to work on?
I think what's happening is there's two different things. The first thing is, I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. I think Mike talking, like, remember, like, Mike brought up that one time where, like, only, like, 1% of the population gets to, like, you know, 300 corruption or whatever. I feel like as though they took that and they think that that's a problem with the new player experience, but they don't realize, like, that's just how RPG players are, I think, in general. Like, I think no matter how good your new player experience is, there will be people, like, most people won't even get to end game in that regard. Like, I think people just kind of, I think part of the issue is, like, I'll be honest with you, I just don't like the campaign. I just don't like the campaign.
That's fine. I do like the campaign.
I just don't like, yeah. I think there's a lot of people that just probably just don't like the campaign. I think that's part of it. But I think the new player experience focus is a knee-jerk reaction to the 1.0 doing so well, doing absurdly well, and then patch 1.1 not doing as well. And I think it's because, you know, it's like, hey, like, there's a bunch of people that will play Last Epoch once and then never play it again. And there was probably a very large amount of people that were like that played in 1.0. And not them not coming back for 1.1, they're like, oh, well, it's like, you know, it's because, you know, it's I think it's a knee-jerk reaction to that.
But tell me, what do you think of when you hear new player experience? Is that like the first 10 minutes of gameplay, the first hour of gameplay, the first 30 levels until Empower? Like, what does it mean to you? Because I know what it means to me.
I think it's like the first, like, at least like few days of playing.
Okay.
If I'm talking about like getting your first character to, like, I don't know, to Monolith specifically, I would say like that extension of time would be the new player experience.
Or yeah, maybe so
even to Empowered, I don't know.
To me, I would say like new player experience like about level 50, because about level 50 is where you get your fifth unlock and you get all five skills. You know, I'm going to spec into this, and like you start gaining experience a little bit faster. That also lines up with like maybe you're halfway into your first Monolith, and I think at that point, like, you have your five skills and you're like, oh man, what if I could do this better? And as soon as you start having those thoughts in your head, it's kind of like the Chris Wilson quote of like, okay, well, if you get to maps, we own your soul. You've heard Chris Wilson say that about Path of Exile in the past. But like, as soon as you start having those feelings in Last Epoch, about like, okay, well, I've got my five skills, but what if? And it's like, that's the moment where like you want to commit another 1,000 hours to the game. So I feel like, you know, around level 50 or so. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I think the problem ends up becoming is, I think I've seen this a lot over the past few years now. I think people, like, when you buy a product and you're playing it for a bit, and you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it. There's no amount of new player pandering that's going to happen that's going to make the person who doesn't want to play the game not want to play the game, true. Right? Like, for instance, like a good example is like Gunfire Reborn just recently just had a new patch that just had a new expansion and stuff like that. It's like, I couldn't imagine trying to get into Gunfire Reborn right now. And not because, you know, the game's bad or anything, but because, like, was someone going to buy the game play it, get through all the new player stuff, right? All the grinding, and then feel like, okay, I want to play this more. Like, they'll probably feel like they're done at that point.
All right. So I think with that, let's see. How long do we ramble? Only 20 minutes. Hey, let's keep going. We have a list of builds. Let's do it, baby. So these are builds, themes, stuff that we thought were like OP or very strong. And then there's a couple other builds. We'll talk about it as we go. But these are generically very strong things to be doing in 1.1 refresh. If you've been playing Last Epoch for a while, these are going to sound real familiar to you. If you don't have a big context of Last Epoch, if you're like a new player out there, there's lots of good content on my YouTube channel, on your YouTube channel, Dread. And then, of course, there's a lot of other content creators out there, too. So there's content out there. If you have more questions, you can ask us specifically. But we're not going to go into like fine grained details. We're just going to talk about the overview. So with that, I want to start out at the very top of this list. So this is at the top of the document that I sent to you, Dread. And this is like generically what are things that are just like really strong to do that you basically can't go wrong.
It's really funny because like 90% of this stuff is stuff I have, like, I don't want to play
because
I know other people play. So like most of my experiences with these builds are watching other people play them and knowing how the build works overall and playing very similar builds in the past. So it's just kind of funny.
Look at this build, you play it once, you're like, okay, I get it. This is OP. Let's go play something else instead.
I see one person playing like Torment Warlock. I've seen everyone play Torment Warlock, you know? It's not like as if it's like new, like the problem is, it's like EHG made a bunch of builds that are just like, these just work. Well, there's other ones on the list that are a lot more interesting, I will say.
All right. So let's start out generically. We've got five like pillars, just things that are super strong, right? So
let's go by mastery.
You want to go by mastery first? The generic ones first?
Yeah, we can go by mastery. I think Warlock could be the first one because I'm sure there's a lot of Warlock antis in chat. So I think Warlock first. So
can I do the generic five ones?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I've said it too many times now. I can't not.
No,
say
you're
it.
Good. Go
so
ahead.
So the generic five things that I'm going to call like the pillars, like the, you know, hard to go wrong, is spark charges, Sork, Warlock, Falconer. I know it sounds like a cop out just to say Sork, Warlock, Falconer.
No, it's not a cop out. It's true.
You just play a Sork, and how is it bad? You play a Falconer, it's a Falconer. It's pretty good. So spark charges, Sork, Warlock, Falconer, and storm bolts. I think those five things cover lots of different builds, and it's basically hard to go wrong.
You say that, but someone's gonna like log in and play Gathering Storm and hate you.
Well, I did not say Gathering Storm. I actually don't think Gathering.
I mean,
Storm
it's part.
Good.
It's part of the storm.
No.
Storm bolts.
I think storm bolts procced off of other things, specifically tornado. Go. Okay. So with that said, those are like the five pillars, you know, three masteries and two exceptionally strong procs. So you said you wanted to start with Warlock, so we'll go like Warlock, Lich, Necromancer. Tell me about Warlock right now.
So Warlock right now, the reason why Warlock is so strong right now is even if you don't have insane, absurd single target, right now Warlock is just really strong due to the fact that you can place down a Chthonic Fissure, and generally, if your build is built well, you will clear the screen. You will just clear the screen. That's just how it is. Like, you will just clear the screen. And turns out, being able to run and walk while you're also clearing is pretty good for the aforementioned favorite game that we're talking about. So they could nerf Warlock by a significant portion, and it would still probably end up being very good for clearing content. Because what ends up becoming a huge bottleneck for you in most of the builds that you're playing is your clear speed, and being able to just have infinite clear speed with Chthonic Fissure is good to go. And there's a bunch of different ways of playing Chthonic Fissure. There's a bunch of different flavors, but the two that really stand out to me is Torment, of course, always. Turns out, you know, this, like, pretty much everything in Warlock has been catered towards Torment, so it probably should be good. I would hope so. They put so many, like, imagine they put the amount of things that list Torment on like Cinder Strike, right? Like, imagine Cinder Strike was listed that many times, but it wasn't good. You know, it's crazy. Yeah, it's just crazy to me how many things benefit Torment specifically. It's like they made Torment specifically and then built every single thing off of that.
They kind of built Warlock around Torment.
Yeah, because I find non-torment Chthonic Fissure so much more interesting, mainly because I like ailment proliffs as a mechanic in general, as it makes like ailment proliffs not bad. Like it makes ailments a lot more fun. But the other one that I liked recently, that I found recently, so Antez, someone that watches me on a regular basis on Twitch and on YouTube, he made an Infernal Shade Warlock, and he made a COF version of it in like a week's worth of time in COF, and got to like 1400 corruption, which, you know, is a decent number, turns out. And it's all about Infernal Shade popping and doing the explosion. And, you know, you use the Chthonic Fissure node that pops your Infernal Shades for you. But what interested me about this build is not only are you skilling Ignite with the pop, with the more damage modifiers from Infernal Shade, you're also skilling spell damage over time with the Infernal Shade, because you're dealing the rest of the damage kind of like Abyssal Echoes, how like it does the rest of the damage. So that build's been just really freaking good.
It reminds me of a previous thing with like Lich with what was it, like Ignite Hungering Souls, but then using your spell damage over time fire dot from from Infernal Shade,
like good. Cool stuff. But actually good. Yeah, those are the two choices I would choose. Right now, I like the Infernal Shade Warlock myself, because it looks absurdly easy to get started.
So Warlock, anything with Chthonic Fissure. Hard to go wrong. Ailments, much. Ignite, Bleed, the Torment stuff, the thing that you just mentioned with Infernal Shade. Very strong stuff. Yep. Lich, a little bit less straightforward. You could play like the classic Lich, but we list, I guess when I say classic Lich, I mean like Rip Blood, Transplant, you know, with Marina's Lost Soul. But we listed off two other things here instead. And the first one is Stygian Cole. Stygian Cole is really, really strong. I've seen some awesome poison variations of it too. This is not as easy to get up and running as a character. Like it's a little bit more gear intensive, but it's like a pillar of what Lich is doing right now. Lich hasn't really changed in the past 30 years. You know, it's pretty much the same.
Which is funny considering how much it gets nerfed.
It's interesting. Like Bone Curse getting touched over and over. But Stygian Cole is new and it's good. So if you wanted to play a Lich, I would definitely be investigating Stygian Cole. Or the second thing here. So Dread, why don't you take it away? What's the second thing?
All right. They didn't nerf it hard enough. So... if you don't know, recently EHG, they nerfed Summoned Volatile Zombies because we got the new rings that summon volatile zombies every so often. Like, you know, it's like resummons them. So you have a chain of volatile zombies, so the rings, the cycle of Butcher's Essence. And with that change, they made it so that whenever you summon a zombie with the two specific nodes, the one that summons multiple zombies and one that summons big zombie, you have a 10% chance, I believe, to summon multiple zombies whenever you would summon a zombie. So instead of getting three zombies per time cycle of Putrid Essence procs, you only get one, and then a 10% chance to get like three of them or whatever, depending on how many points you have in that node. But they forgot about the node after it that just spawns the two corpse parasites off of the zombies, and of course the skeletons as well. And that has led the potion Lich to be still viable. If you don't know what that is, there is a shadow nerf. What do you mean shadow nerf? Wait a moment. Whoa. What do you mean shadow nerf? Wait a moment. What do you mean Illflip? So if you don't know, Illflip just said, I don't think Stygian is good anymore after the shadow nerf. It's the best of a bad situation. All right, I need to know that. Like, what do you mean? What happened with it? Because it's a build I would recommend.
I feel like I've seen Stygian Cole recently. I'd be surprised if it's a bad recommendation.
Yeah, I'd have to. We'll have to look into that. But
we'll keep going. That.
But so if you don't know, there's a belt modifier, experimental belt modifier that summons a bunch of zombies on potion use. This also got nerfed as well, but apparently not hard enough. You summon like five volatile zombies on potion use, and then you can run that with the belt that gives you 16 potion slots, and essentially, even though you only have a limited amount of potions, you can scale the damage high enough with Lich and stuff, and with the bursty nature of Lich with the Death Seal and all that, where you can kill bosses very quickly, even with 16 potions only, because you just end up making so many minions, and they all explode and do sacrifice, and sacrifice does a lot of damage, as we know. Sacrifice is a very large amount of damage. So those two combined leads to just a potion Lich zombie still being really strong.
So if I were playing a Lich, I'd do one of those two things. Going on to the third Acolyte Mastery, we just said Wraith Lord. You know, the Wraith Lord helmet, it's been nerfed, but if you wanted to play like the best version of Necromancer, you probably just look for that thing and then put it on.
So before this cycle, you could sack multiple under bosses. It's not a bad build. Just what do you mean you could sack multiple under bosses? You can still, what do you mean by that?
Let's skip the comment.
Okay, that's confusing.
I've seen 1.1 versions of Stygian Cole, and I'm very happy to recommend it. We're going to move past that comment.
All right. So
Necromancer, Wraith Lord.
So the problem here with Necromancer right now is, I'll be honest, other than very specific circumstances, minions suck in this patch. Overall, they just suck so bad. And if you don't know why, it's because not only have, with the corruption changes, you just have generically more damage and more HP on enemies. You also just don't have anything to compensate for that. Minions have not improved in their survivability in the last two patches, while everything else has gotten more fiercer and deal more damage. On top of that as well, favor gain is not very high for a build that requires minions for the most part. Most minion builds do not have good clear. The point of them is to do good single target. They do not have good clear. And because of that, they have less favor, so your gear is just going to generically be worse than like someone else playing a real build. And the biggest point of contention with all this is minion survivability. Even with like 1,000% minion health and like 100 intelligence and all of this and all that, you just simply just can't keep your skeletons alive. Just skeletons, right? And then there's like a lot of other minions that can't survive that long. And that's what has led to the prevalence of the solo minion archetype, where you run Bone Golem, right? And you like hit it with your Rip Blood. But then, you know, Wraith Lord came out and all of that doesn't matter anymore. So now you just play Wraith Lord. Mm-hmm. And all of this is combined to the point where, like, I'll be honest, Necromancer is in the dumps other than Wraith Lord and like maybe normal summon volatile Wraith and like maybe summon volatile zombie stuff, but Lich does it better. So it's just a lot of things hurting Necromancer that haven't been addressed yet.
Boom. Wraith Lord helmet compensates for those like meta shifts.
Well, it turns out when you have infinite damage, you don't have to care about it.
It does a fuckload of damage. We're gonna I'm just gonna leave it right there. Let's move on to the next starting class. And spoiler, we already said that storm bolts are really interesting and they're really strong. So we're talking about Primalist here. And for Primalist, for Druid first, Druid's got a number of good options. I think it's a really interesting class to play around with. But if you want to play it for the 1.1 refresh, I'd recommend doing something with Tornado and Stormbolts. So you spec in your Gathering Storm, you grab all the points that apply to Stormbolts, but you're never actually attacking with Gathering Storm. So you'll be in some kind of transformed state, or maybe you'll just like casting Tornado as a human character, and your Tornadoes will proc your Gathering Storm Stormbolts. And those Stormbolts, when they proc off Tornadoes, you get a ton of them all at the same time, and they deal lots and lots of damage.
Yeah, and there's a few things to talk about that specifically. First things off, the range on the storm bolts on Tornado are currently bugged. They've become nuclear ballistic missiles. They can literally hit like three screens away or whatever, which has caused them to, you know, be very good right now. But I think even if they fix that finally, they would still be insanely strong. They would just be a normal build instead of, you know, a bugged build, which, you know, would be great. But yeah, that's just one thing I want to point out is the range on them is absolutely absurd right now. The second thing I want to point out is this is a very new archetype, by the way. This was only tested and brought up like last patch, of course. But something like this would have functioned as well before the Gathering Storm stuff and probably did just as well. It's just we didn't really think about using, you know, Werebear form as a mana battery because, you know, now, that's kind of a boring answer, but it is the correct answer, it turns out.
Well, the old version of this build was just like transforming into Swarmblade form and playing the lightning bug thing. So that's when they made a change.
And they nerfed the absolute crap out of that one.
But that then one they introduced Gathering Storm.
Giga-dogged.
So like that one's definitely still playable right now, both as Frostbite as crit.
I just don't know why you'd play that over the Werebear one now, unless if you don't like the transforming stuff.
Exactly,
But at that point, there are better builds for you at that point. in my opinion.
So specifically the build that Dread and I are talking about here is the Werebear thing. Like, you cast a bunch of tornadoes, you swap in Werebear form, you use Rampage. Rampage gives you a generic more lightning damage multiplier while you're active or while you're rampaging, and that juices up your tornadoes and stuff. So that's
yeah,
that's,
and you also get the 40% more for 6 seconds after transforming, which is really strong.
So that's what we're pointing at there. But generically, just like tornado plus storm bolts is a great place to be. So we're gonna move on to the second mastery for Primalist, which is Shaman. And Shaman Tornado
Shaman
plus
does
tornado
more of
storm
the same.
Bolts. It does.
Frostbite Tornado Shaman is actually really good right now, especially after the buffs. You don't have to use the stinky boots anymore, and it makes the attunement node a lot better.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, you don't need to use snowdrifts, and you don't need to find a 1LP that has tier 7 movement speed on it.
Yeah, like, and you didn't really need to use it before, but like now, it just generically buffed. Like, because you just had that much damage with the tornadoes, you didn't even need to use the boots. But now it's like it's so much better, and like the only thing you have to do with that build is solve the mana, and that is not hard at all. Like, there's either the final solution, which is using Spriggan form, right? Or there is just building a bunch of mana regen, which Shaman does. You can get up to 30 mana.
Using Urza's Pride, elemental resistance when you have a totem up.
The cool trick, too, you can even convert Tornado to Fire to get the minus mana cost on the wand, specifically, because you want the wand, because you want the mana regen, because they nerf scepters, so you don't get mana regen anymore. You just run the wand with mana regen, right? And that gives like another -5 and a +1 to tornado. There's like so many different like. It's
oh,
really...
you mean Cindersong?
Yeah, Cindersong. The reason why you'd use Cindersong.
Okay.
You'd use Cindersong because you can't use mana and mana regen on scepters anymore. They nerfed that. They removed that. Yeah, so you can do that. That's the thing. It's really
so
cool.
There's two other Shaman builds we listed here as well. One is Avalanche. I know you and I both played Avalanche at one point during the 1.1 patch. And like Avalanche, there's a couple different ways you can build it. It's just a generically strong skill. It's not OP, but it deals a ton of damage. You got to solve for mana, either building mana regeneration or swapping into Spriggan form and building cooldown recovery speed. You got to do something about your mana, but as long as you're willing to put up with that, like Avalanche is a great place to be, and you're going to be happy with your build.
Yeah, and like it was, like I cycle started it this patch. I can 100% recommend it. There's literally nothing I could find wrong about it for the most part. It just it was a smooth experience all the way through. It's like as soon as you get Avalanche, it feels amazing because they're finally listening to feedback and they're making base skills not shit. The base versions of the skills, you know, like imagine like Umbral Blade's base versus Umbral Blade's spec'd, right?
True,
it's like a huge
true.
Difference.
Okay, I hear you.
Avalanche spec'd and Avalanche not spec'd is not that big of a difference. You just get a few more damage modifiers, but the base skill when you get it in like the campaign is amazing. Like
it,
it's
it
like,
hits like a truck,
oh,
so much damage.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And then the other one is Storm Totem. And there's some gasoline versions of Storm Totem going around. It might be bugged. I don't know exactly what the bug is.
So
I don't. You say there's a bug. I don't think
there's
a bug.
There's been multiple bugs. It's the same issue as the Earthquake Beastmaster, where there's been multiple bugs, and some of them got fixed, some of them didn't. Upheaval is bugged. There's a lot of bugs going on. But even if they fix all of those bugs, we're still gonna be left with an insanely strong skill because the scaling is there. Even if you don't use the upheaval stuff, even if you don't use this or that, like it's still going to be absurdly strong, mainly due to just all the buffs and changes that came its way. Because it also got storm.
Yeah, what's that node called? The bottom middle giga node.
The one that allows you to use storm bolts. Yeah, you can use storm bolts, and your attunement will add the flat to your storm totem. Like it has that 80% negative cast speed modifier, but turns out that doesn't matter.
I wasn't even talking about that note. I was talking about the like cast thorn totem and cast storm totem to like combine them and make one big one.
Yeah. Oh, that one, the thunder totem. Yeah, yeah. The thunder totem was a huge change. Like I leveled with thunder totem, just leveling with it. It just felt so good. I'm just sad at the fact that it's so bugged because I don't want to touch it right now until it's fixed, but it would definitely 100% would be a choice to choose if you didn't care about that. It's literally
if you're interested in Shaman, you got multiple good choices. Love that.
Yeah, it's fine. Finally we do anyways. Mm-hmm. Oh, finally.
All right, the third one here for Primalist before we move on is Beastmaster. And I just wrote down EQ damage over time.
Well, there's two.
Oh, there are. I totally forgot. Yeah, actually, you and I talked about this, obviously. So the first one is EQ damage over time. So this is a build that was popularized by The Curse. So he put this together for like 1.0 and like 1.0, 1.1. If you want to play it as a druid, if you want to play it as a Beastmaster, it's just really, really strong. It's also bugged.
Well, it was bugged, and they fixed it, and it's still bugged.
Well, so it was bugged, and then they fixed it, and then they added compensation by changing some of the numbers, but then I think they also reintroduced the bug. So it's definitely bugged right now. If you're playing EQ without damage over time, you're good. But if you're playing EQ with damage over time, with aftershocks, you're still dealing bug damage.
Trying to keep up with all the bugs, fixes of all these skills and everything, it's like reading those shitty celebrity news magazines from like the Walmart. It's like on the front page, it's like Avalanche is still bugged, or it's like it's great.
I promise you, I've played the non-bugged version of EQ damage over time. It's still an excellent build.
Yeah, I feel like you could not go wrong with that.
Yep. Very strong. And the second Beastmaster, of course, the one that I forgot to write down, is what you and I already talked about, Scorpion. So Scorpion is just like, it feels like it's underrepresented whenever I look at builds and like build guides and things that are popular on the forums, whatnot. But like Scorpion, popularized by the person whose name I forget. Him.
It's Cookbook.
That guy. Yep, there you go.
So to give you an idea of why this specific minion build is good, why other minion builds are bad, right, for the most part, right now in the current state of Last Epoch, is there's a few things going on. The first thing, it does damage. Turns out just doing damage means that you can invest more into minion survivability. Like, who would have thought, right? I feel like minions should deal damage and that you should solve their survivability. I feel like that should be, like, what they should do, right, is they should do damage and you fix their survivability, but whatever, we'll get to that later. But it does damage, so all you got to do is fix survivability, which is very easy because you can use the swipe node. There's a node inside swipe that triggers a companion ability when you use it, but it also heals your companion to 100% health every single time you use it. It's a very low cooldown skill. It starts off at 2 seconds. You can get it much lower than that, and that means that your Scorpion doesn't die because it's always at 100% HP. And even if it dies, you just like go and walk over on it, like the companion stuff. And it just, not only does it do enough damage, it also does damage in an AoE, which is very rare for minions in general, is doing a copious amount of damage in AoE. And also as well, it's very SSF, like COF friendly, because you just have to have the skill. You don't even need that much gear. Cookbook brought like an exalted only version all the way to 500 very easily. Then like he pushed to 1,000 with normal gear. It's just like, it's hard to go wrong with that. It's like the pinnacle of Beastmaster pet builds right now.
Love that. Wish there were more of them. I wish that someday we got support. Well,
the problem is every single build is just a worse version of Scorpion, even if it does more damage, like Solo Raptor, which does more damage, right? Mm. Stuff like that. The problem is the clear speed is so bad, and that is such an important like facet of Last Epoch right now, because a favorite gain, if you're playing a minion build, odds are your favorite gain is in the toilet. So it's just hard to recommend a minion build other than specifically summon Scorpion and stuff like that.
All right, so that said, let's keep going. We're gonna go on to Sentinel next, and I think you have one build.
Are we gonna move on from Sentinel? All right, let's talk about Falconer.
So we have so for Paladin, technically on my notepad document I wrote ... I have two builds that I'm happy to recommend. You have one build that you're happy to recommend. But the problem is, like, Paladin, it doesn't really have the same gas as these other builds do. It's not OP. There's stuff you can play. There's stuff that's good.
It had gas, and they nerfed it.
So, like, there's...
For no reason.
There are builds you can play as a Paladin and not be embarrassed. You got good builds. They're fine. They're strong. But they're not on the same level as the other stuff that we've been talking about before. So... I'm gonna go one of mine, and then we'll do Dred's recommendation, and then I'll do one more after that. So the first one that I'll recommend is a sword and board spam build using Judgment, stacking up the damage over time. So there's a build on the forums for this, and also this build has been proven in the arena as well. It seems like it has excellent damage. And
I have not seen this.
Yeah, so this is a sword and board judgment damage over time thing. You place, it's not an aura build. You don't have the aura following you. You just place the consecrated ground on the ground. So you can stack up multiple of them for single target.
It's funny, I actually played this build like a few months ago.
Yeah.
Is it the consecrated ground stacking paladin guide on the LE planner?
What's the name for the person?
I think it's the brewery.
Yeah, that guy's build guide.
Is that okay? Cool.
Yep.
All right.
So yeah. that is a tried and tested build. It's a good one, you know?
Yeah, it's I did this with specifically the Judicator, mm-hmm. but he's opting more for just a Vengeance giving you mana back. And yep. the reason why this even works now versus before is they fix how skill priority works on the bar. So if you don't know, if you have your skills in a specific manner, it will prioritize which skills to use first. So if you're out of mana, you can't use a skill that has zero mana, right? So, but if you have a Vengeance on your bar, per se, on the other side of the bar, you just hold that down and hold Judgment. What your character will do is it will use Judgment when you're need mana, or you're out of mana. Like, it'll use Judgment till you're out of mana. Then it will use Vengeance because Judgment is no longer a valid target because mm-hmm. you're out of mana. Then Vengeance, then Judgment, Vengeance, Judgment. And it leads to a much better play style than trying to just do like Vengeance, 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 Judgment, Judgment. And mm-hmm. it's a lot better because not only do you keep the uptime on the Vengeance buff, you also keep the uptime on the Consecrated Ground, and just overall just a much better way of playing the build.
Yep. Cool. So that's a good one for Paladin. I wouldn't say an OP build, but definitely a strong build.
Yeah.
So
it's what I would recommend someone to play if they want to play Paladin.
Love it. So you had a different recommendation for someone who wanted to play Paladin. Like, again, not OP, but it's a good place to be. So what was that?
So I am a fan right now of Flameburst Paladin right now, Warpath. And that is because it already had good damage before this patch, and Polaris is a thing now. Polaris is an extra like 3 additional smites per second on single target, which, by the way, before you had like 3, so now you're at 6. So that effectively doubles your damage. And not only that, Polaris is a very low LP item. It's like 6 or something stupid like that. So you can get a 3-4 LP one very easily if you're playing in Merchant's Guild, and a 3 LP one just guaranteed if you're playing in a COF, right? Like just poop all over the ground. It's great. And so if you don't know how that build works, you just play Warpath and you abuse the now 60% fire penetration while using Warpath, which they finally nerfed, which I recommended they did because it was OP as balls. And the 8%, or I think like 10% base crit while wielding a sword, you run like a scepter, a sword, use flame burst shotguns on packs and clears pretty okay. Then you use smite casting on single target, because while you're warpathing, you're casting smite that counts as casting during your warpath, so you get the fire pen. Then you do the devotion nonsense, and then you add Polaris on top of that, mm-hmm. and all that combined leads to good enough.
Love it.
Good enough.
And the third recommendation for Paladin is something that a lot of people played at the very beginning of 1.1, and I for some reason I feel like I always see Path of Exile gamers gravitate toward this. Like, whenever I see, you know, Steel Mage or something like coming over into the world of Last Epoch, it's like, okay, this is just
the build. Bash?
Not Shield Bash. Guard. No, I see them gravitate toward Bleed Hammer Throw. And like, Bleed Hammer Throw, yeah. it's good. I promise it's good. I don't know why so many people go for it.
No, I think it's good.
It is good.
I think it's good.
I think it's more popular than it should be.
I don't think it will be good next patch at all. Like, I think it will get the balance hammer.
Does it need to be balanced? It's good. It's fine.
Well, no, it's gonna die in the collateral damage that it might bring to destroy Volatile Reversal. Yeah,
it might. But for right now, Bleed Hammer Throw, it's a buttery smooth play style. You know, if you want to play it, you're gonna have a shield, you're gonna have block. You'll be tanky enough. You'll have good damage. And you'll have
the clear speed makes up for everything else.
Yeah,
and that's all that matters.
And it's really fun to play. So
that's literally all you need this patch. You don't even need that much single target, because 99% of the fucking time we're playing the game, it's in Monoliths. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to be fighting Aberroth very little. And if you really want to kill Aberroth, there are builds where you can one tap them. It's fine. Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's Paladin is like dot, dot, dot. But we gave you 3 recommendations anyways. Next up is Void Knight, and we have one solid recommendation for Void Knight. I think it's just like the way to play VK right now, and that is Erasing Strike. It's got big AoE clear. Bonk. You're going to use a World Splitter. There's other ways to play it as well, but I think World Splitter has really shined as a way to, you know, get good crit, get good area of effect, get good playability.
Well, let's be real.
It just works really well.
It's not even World Splitter. Let's be real. It's the Void Essences. Let's be real, right?
Void Essences
giving you infinite mana.
And that's the way you play the build, right?
Imagine you had that on, like, Judgment, right?
Like, gee, that sounds pretty good all of a sudden, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So Void Knight has one super solid build. Someone in Twitch chat said, what about pre-World Splitter? I would still say Racing Strike. You just use a different, like a two-handed mace instead.
But you can use anything. There's like so many, like you can just use a two-handed weapon with good mods, because since the base crit's in the tree and all that, like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I think World Splitter Racing Strike is the place to be.
I'll be honest, I don't even think World Splitter is the best version, by the way. The Frenzy Axe is better in my opinion.
Oh, you like that?
The plus six to a Racing Strike. If you look at the Racing Strike trees, they're absurdly like
true.
Like they have they're so starved on points. You can get like an extra 100% more damage on top of this, on top of that. I think that, and the axe is just a better thing. Mm-hmm. And you can always go with there's nothing wrong with Apathy's Maw, by the way. Mm-hmm. Apathy's Maw is still a usable item.
It is. We've already got someone in Twitch chat saying they want to play Racing Strike just because we're talking about it. Done. That's all I want to see.
Yeah, like literally, I wouldn't start with it. I would like play Rive or something else.
Nah, I'd start with it. Go.
No, I wouldn't touch it until like you get the Void Essence stuff set up, but after that, it's great.
Use Rive for mana. Anyways, there's Forge Guard as our third Sentinel Mastery that we wanted to touch on. And technically, I wrote down ...
Dude, there's so many people playing Shield Bash, and every time I see Shield Bash, I just don't like it.
So
I think people were so hyped about Shield Bash, and it ended up being one of the most mediocre skills ever to exist in the last Epoch history. It's like, everyone's like, oh, it's good with investment. Yeah, a lot of other builds are too. But
I think Shield Bash Forge Guard strikes me as a build. A build and a progression, an item progression and a strength progression that should exist in Last Epoch, but there's so many outliers that playing a fair build is just kind of mid. You know what I mean?
Also, like I said, the favor game being the most important thing ever, right?
Like it's
you're
good.
Not clearing that fast.
Shield Bash, you know, it scales well with itemization, it scales well with LP, it scales well with time investment.
I can make all this extra money on. I can like print the stupid one-handed axes and make a bunch of money.
So Forge Guard is not as strong as it ought to be. I think it still needs another balance patch or some gasoline somewhere.
Well, we could talk about Smolter's Wrath, its short stint to glory.
I think if you really wanted to play Forge Guard, I would say
Smolter's Wrath is good right now.
I would say Smolter's Wrath. Yep. No, sorry. No, wait.
In terms of damage.
Wait, no. That's you tricked me. I didn't want to say Smolter's Wrath. I want to say Forge Strike.
You want to say Forge Strike?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I guess we do have something to talk about now, do we?
I think Forge Strike with what do you call it? With Plague Dragon's Tongue. It's a YouTube video that I put up recently. I was impressed with the damage. I thought it was good. It's playable. It was fun. Is it my internet or his internet?
That means you just didn't buy a bunch of gear and just put it, you know.
True. Gotcha.
Yeah. So you actually played the build. So that's a good start.
Yeah. But like any Forge Guard build that we talk about, it's just like it pales in comparison to everything else on this podcast, everything else on this list. Like there's Forge Guard builds out there. I guess that's cool.
Forge weapons being bugged doesn't help either, but like I doubt they'd be good after a certain amount of corruption because of their survivability.
We can talk about bugs real quick because Twitch chat's interested as well. Forge weapons are bugged because the forge weapon rings. They say that the forge weapons scale with the stats on your gloves. What they actually do is they scale with the stats on all of your gear. So like helmet, body armor, everything, which is obviously not intended. So that's one. And then another one would be Smelter's Wrath. For a while, it was like one-shotting bosses. It dealt insane damage. There's a YouTube video that had tons of views on it. That was bugged. It's been fixed. It was dealing more damage per ignite, but it was not capped. So now it is capped. So
I think with the hammer, you can make
you want to go Event Horizon?
I mean, at this point, if you're going to commit to standing still. You're going to commit to standing still, you know? Like, nah. You're going to go Event Horizon.
Sure. Great. Yeah. Love it. I don't. Yeah.
I mean, I don't either. It is a way to do damage with it. That's all that matters, I guess.
If you were going Forge Guard, I think the best place to be is probably just Manifest Armor. We've heard...
We'll see. Oh, yeah, Manifest Armor.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Manifest Armor, it got a good quality of life buff in 1.1, where there was a lower cooldown and higher damage on the dash ability that he does, which means that you have...
Oh, that's bugged.
Oh.
It only does damage on, like, the first tick of it. It's garbage right now.
All
right,
cool. I thought it was fixed.
Yeah, Rook was not happy at all. He actually didn't play this patch because of that bug sting, and even though they talked about it multiple times and brought it up.
All right, never mind.
Yeah, that's a travesty. All right, normal Manifest Armor with like the shield throw shenanigans is still good. I was surprised at how good the AoE was on that. Now they changed the animations on it and everything. It looks a lot better.
I don't know, on the list of like strong builds or OP builds or
I would never touch it if my aim was to farm favor per hour. I would never touch Forge Guard.
All right, let's move on. We're going to move on to a class that has basically perma haste and then extra movement speed from their movement skill. Let's talk about a rogue. First up, a rogue is Blade Dancer. I wrote down two things for Blade Dancer, and it's some broad generalizations and maybe a build or two, but I wrote down
Shadow Daggers.
I wrote down Shadow Daggers. It turns out that even post nerf, Shadow Dagger is pretty good.
They didn't even nerf it.
They nerfed the application rate of Shadow Daggers from Umbral Blades.
Yeah, but they got 50% more damage. Right,
they got 50%. Why did they do that?
Remember? Yeah, like they didn't even get nerfed.
Why?
Like
they just took a
note. They actually got buffed.
And they're just like, oh, by the way,
because it makes application of Shadow Daggers that isn't Umbral Blades even better.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
But they're just
like playing rogue.
No, but like they say like they like we want Shadow Daggers to be a secondary source of damage. We don't want it to be the primary source of damage for a build. It's not like something you totally build on. Like, but then they just took a fucking note in Blade Dancer.
At this point, they
literally wrote 50% more damage for Shadow Daggers.
It didn't need that.
Not at all.
Nerfed Umbral Blades. They didn't, and it could have been also as well. It could have just been a note at the top of Blade Dancer as well. Like it could have just been at the top of Blade Dancer.
Cool.
Right. Falconer didn't need that at all.
True. So Blade Dancer, anything with Shadow Daggers, good to be strong. If you want to play Shadow Dagger Blade, what do you call it? Shadow Dagger Dancing Strikes, it's fine.
Like, I think there's just so many, like, the problem is you just end up being Umbral Blades anyways.
You do. That's
the problem.
You totally do. Yeah.
It's just Umbral Blades.
As soon as you start being a Shadow Dagger build, you start gravitating
towards... Let's talk about, like, Umbral Blades.
I've got my second one. So the second thing in Blade Dancer, I made a roundup of arena builds in 1.0 and in 1.1, and both times for like all the rogue classes, one of the archetypes that really stood out to me is Explosive Trap. And Explosive Trap is just a really good skill. It scales offense and defense at the same time. It scales off your ring slots.
Yeah, Explosive Trap, Acid Flask stuff, right?
Yep, absolutely. Or Explosive Trap. No, I guess it's just that. Yeah, plus Acid Flask. You can go like Cold Crit, you can go Fizz Crit, just like any kind of thing like that. So if you want a good, strong Blade Dancer build, either something with Shadow Daggers or something with like Explosive Trap plus Acid Flask is a great place to be. Cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a solid build. It'll be good even if they nerf things, because Acid Flask is actually good when you spam it 50,000 times.
I'm going to go slightly out of order here, and I'm going to go Marksman next.
Sure, why not?
So for Marksman, we talked about this a tiny bit before the podcast started, and luckily we had Trickster, who was hanging out in chat as well. Trickster is someone who's got 9,000 hours played on Rogue, and he literally only plays Rogue. So he's a great source of knowledge. He's a content creator as well. So he's had success with a good number of things, but in his responses to us, he was saying, like, you can do this, you can do that. Like, there's strong, good builds. Like, you can play Hail of Arrows, you can play Multishot. There's good stuff going on here. And then he said, or you can just play Explosive Trap Blast Rain because Explosive Trap's dumb. And that, I think, is the kind of build that we want to call out on this list here. Explosive Trap Blast Rain.
Weird. We need to talk about this a little bit more in detail, because there's been a trend of late of people making YouTube videos on Marksman. Like, hey, look at my Marksman Explosive Trap build at 2K Corruption. And you'll like watch them. They'll do like fine, right? They'll do enough damage. But then you look at their defenses, they have no defenses. Mm-hmm. They've completely given up on defenses. Defenses are out the window. Who cares about them? All we care about is damage. I'm like, it's just really funny to see that, because it's like, I mean, that It's like, yeah, it turns out when they nerf your defenses, you just go ZHP and you just, you know, die every other mono, you know, and hate your life. But, you know, still, I just want to bring that up when we talk about the marksman thing, because there's going to be a lot of people that be like, well, I'm the Dread. I saw a marksman kill Abaroth in 30 seconds. And he just ignore the fact that the multi-shot marksman had like 1200 HP. Just ignore that.
Yeah. I personally would like to play a build where I don't need to sacrifice all of my defense to get good damage.
And not die.
There's lots of builds in that category.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
It's like, right. It's like dying every other mono, and that's like negative clear speed. It's like,
I've heard people call that a good build. I would rather uninstall the game than play a build like that, but that's just me.
Yeah.
All right. Last up is a Falconer. So next to Falconer.
We didn't even bring up Bleed Hail of Arrows.
I
recently played it. It's insane. The damage is insane. And the damage is so insane that you could cut your damage in half, still have insane damage, and have way more survivability. I think Bleed Hail of Arrows is like one of those builds that I would play.
You think it's OP OP?
Not OP OP, but it's like if you want to play Marksman, that would be one of the builds I would choose.
Okay, I like that. So like, listen, I've heard like multi-shot, like Bleed multi-shot? I think it was like a crit multi-shot, right?
No, it's crit multi-shot. Yeah. Don't play bleed multi-shot. Don't play bleed. I tried that.
But like we've heard like crit multi-shot, that. Hail of Arrows stuff. Bleed Hail of Arrows is something you had good experience with. And like we saw a bunch of increased modifiers in Marksman got changed into more multipliers in the 1.1 patch. The new concentration nodes in Marksman I think are phenomenal. I'm really happy with that rework to those nodes there. So like Marksman, I don't think Marksman is like on the same tier of like OP as a lot of the other things we've talked about already.
Oh, I agree. 100%. But, yeah. Yeah.
If you want to play it, you have good options. So you're not going to be embarrassed by it. Like I said before, we're going to move on to the third mastery for Rogue, which is Falconer. And next to Falconer, I wrote the word everything.
It would be very hard for you to make a bad Falconer. Recently, there was a video that was posted. There was a video. It just made my day.
Go on.
There was a video that was posted recently about a Cinder Strike Falconer with the fists, and all of the comments were just like, dude, the bird was doing all the damage, you weren't doing anything. And it just made me smile. It's just great. It's like, yeah, it's Falconer problem.
Falconer, yeah. So to me personally, I don't like Falconer because I like solving problems. And someone else in Twitch chat, it was like a couple weeks ago, someone gave me this one-liner. They said that Falconer feels like all the problems have been solved for you. And that stuck with me. So that's a good explanation. I don't really like
that.
That
was actually the reasoning behind the video when I made the I Hate Falconer video.
Yeah.
It was like, it's just boring.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
You can play Falcon builds. You can play Dive Bomb builds. You can play...
Specifically right now, the most egregious example of it is Razorfall, the new boots they just added this patch.
Yeah.
Because obviously Falconer needed a buff. If you don't know what they do, whenever you use, I think it's the tail one where they like fly with the bird.
Aerial assault.
You shoot out a bunch of umbral blades based on your dexterity. Who would have thought? That's pretty good.
Weird.
Weird. Yeah.
It's just. All right. So after saying every Falconer build is good, let's move on to one other starting class here. So we'll talk about Mage next. Mage, we're going to start out with Sork, and I want to put this right next to Falconer, because next to Sork, I also wrote the same word. I wrote everything. So when I say everything, what I think I mean by the word everything is like big mana stuff. Like big mana, get 300 mana, 500 mana, 1,000 mana, do something that incorporates that. Maybe you go spark charges, maybe you're just like some big meteor build. I find it hard to believe that you can make a bad Sork build.
It's really funny talking about this, because last batch we were complaining about it, but like they took our complaints and they're just like, what if we cranked it up to like 50,000?
Mm-hmm. So if you want like the best Sork build, I think the one that Frozen Sentinel put together with like a spark charge and like all the recast stuff on Frostclaw looks insane. Yeah. It looks
you're either running
insane.
Frostclaw or you're running Static Orb with the Meteor Belt.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like the two options.
They both obliterate Abaroth. They both crush corruption. They both farm really quickly. Like, how can you go wrong? So there, yeah. Sork, insane. Next up, I guess we can kind of bunch these together. And if there's anything that you want to call out specifically, Dread, I think that's fine.
For Spellblade, we do should... I think what is it called? Anything crit Shatterstrike related. I know we were just memeing about the ZHP builds, but like Shatterstrike can get away with it. I think crit Shatterstrike in general is just a generically good skill. Then you have the bug with Flame Reave doing the whole screen wide. I think non-bug Flame Reave is still in a fine spot.
The Flame Reave pulling enemies into you and then having all the spark charges pop, adorable.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the bug where you take the Fire Aura node and gives
and then
you
the Fire Aura AoE and you hit three screens. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. But like, so that was actually what I was going to bring up as well as the spark charge Spellblade with the Flame Reef thing. I think that's actually really fucking good. Actually absurdly good. Even if they nerf spark charges in some way, they would have to like specifically nerf that build, because even if they nerfed all the damage on spark charges, you would just like find some fucking way to just use that for clear because of the shotgunning. So if you don't know what happens, guys. So if you have a spark charge and it explodes on something, it'll deal damage in AoE, right, to other things. But if you have 10 enemies all grouped up, they'll take one spark charge times 10. And you can do that with Flame Reef very easily.
Because it pulls enemies in if you take that node. So that's an awesome piece of innovation. It's completely adorable. So strictly speaking, next to Runemaster and next to Spellblade, we wrote spark charges. Realistically speaking, the best thing to be doing on Runemaster and Spellblade is spark charges. You could play Runemaster and go Plasma Orb as a Runic Invocation if you still want to go that route. You can go crit Shatterstrike on a Spellblade, but really, I think spark charges are just so strong.
Like, there's stacking only intelligence. One thing I would say that is, I played this as my cycle starter for 9.0. It's the Glyph of Dominion Ignite. You can make that thing gigantic because of the Fire Aura weapon, right? Where it actually is supposed to work, unlike Flame Reef. Mm-hmm. the thing that gives your Fire Aura AoE to your Glyph of Dominion. I think Glyph of Dominion Ignite can definitely go toe-to-toe because you can place it down and hit the entire screen. I think that's very underrepresented right now.
And so you pair like that with the Runic Invocation, like the fireballs that fall from the sky? I forget which one that is.
No, you just ignore that.
You ignore it.
You just Glyph of Dominion. Usually it's good for Dominion.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
It doesn't have damage. I wouldn't like, you can't really go wrong with that. It just does that much damage. The damage scaling is there for it. And you were going HP anyway, so like the ward nerfs didn't even matter.
Let's see. Is there anything else to talk about in regards to Mage? I want to say that like I'm a little bit disappointed that we haven't seen much Disintegrate stuff. Like that was really hyped up.
No damage.
Yeah, but like it was hyped up and like brand new skill tree and like it was teased in like on its own page. And...
What do you mean brand new skill tree? They changed like two nodes and slapped an 80% less damage modifier on it.
I'm surprised that nothing really popped off. Like there are so many people experimenting with it, and I just like haven't seen anything that's particularly compelling.
Because it does no damage, Perry.
Yeah, that sucks. Like, it's a channeling build. Like I don't want to play it, but I want someone else to figure out something good.
I feel like as though they, it's like making a sandwich, right? And like you like put one piece of bread, put some toppings, and then you just don't finish the sandwich, and you're like, we're done. And it's like, why would you need an 80% less damage node on a skill that already does no damage? It's just, that's the thing that just like mystifies me. It's like, were they testing it and it did a lot of damage and they had to nerf it? And by a lot of damage, you mean like 400k ticks? Because that's how much it would have done without the 80% less damage mod. Like,
we talked about a bunch of OP builds, a bunch of like outliers, things that are really strong, some generically strong builds in case you want to play Paladin or something. If you want to prove us wrong, I would love to be proved wrong. This is the challenge that I'll toss out there into the universe. If you want to work on something, like go take Disintegrate and figure out something sweet with it, because I've been pretty unimpressed so far.
Oh, is it 60% less? I mean, that's still absurd. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the number is.
Cool. Let's see. Runemaster. I feel like there's another Runemaster thing that I wanted to call out real quick. Maybe that's about it. Oh, you know what it was? It was the build that you made. You called it like the best build you've ever made before.
Oh, that build's trash.
Oh, all right. Fuck it.
It does like 400k. So the problem is with that build is the brand Deception. It has a high, it has a max ceiling. So what'll happen is like you get to like 400k ticks, maybe a bit more than that. but then you run out because you can't run more shock chance.
Got it.
And since boss has got like quintuple HP twice in a row, yeah, I wouldn't play that build.
Just kidding. All right, so like maybe good for clear,
but because the game got like substantially more hard for.
But your clear speed would still be fine on it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but your like I wouldn't want a boss on that.
Maybe you could.
It was already it was an acceptable margin before.
Got it. So like it had really good clear speed. If you could figure out something else to use for single target instead, then maybe.
It's like lightning dot. There's not really many choices.
You literally have static orb. You literally have static orb for lightning dot. The charge ground.
You're skilling an ailment, not a spell. But I guess like sure. I guess
maybe. Maybe.
Sure,
okay, cool. Worth experimenting. All right, so that's our list. That's our OP builds plus a bit of rambling that goes along with it. Things that you can try out and crush the extra skeletons that spawn in the 1.1 event. It's worth noting that for 1.1, the refresh coming up on September 19th, they did say that they're going to have like some skeletons spawn in maps. And we were asking ourselves, is this going to be monsters spawning in place of other monsters, or is this monster spawning in addition to? So we got clarification on that today. They said that this was going to be monsters spawning in addition to. So for the refresh, we're going to have extra pack size. So everything that we've said about having clear speed, good AoE, favor gain, all those things, we're doubling down on that because we have official information from them. We got pack size, and like. Ooh. Isn't pack size one of the things that people complain about for Last Epoch? Like they just want more explosions, more monsters to kill.
It's kind of funny. The more they add pack size, the more they make the game like less and less viable builds. I know that's kind of funny to talk about. But like, why would I ever touch Vengeance when like there's so many monsters on my screen, right?
Well, it makes you tanky.
Oh yeah, sure.
Listen,
yeah.
Just like the Iron Blades nodes, they're interesting in concept. They're just like bad execution. Brutal.
Aren't they? I believe they're bugged.
They're bugged. in the 1.0 patch notes, I said that Iron Blades was supposed to scale with the rest of the Vengeance skill tree. They don't.
It still doesn't. And even if they did, I doubt it'd be even good anyways.
Because they take too many points. You know, just make them 1 point apiece and make them less conditional. And our joke about Paladin stuff and Sentinel stuff is like too many of the Sentinel modifiers for damage are like, you know, you deal more damage on a Tuesday afternoon when it's sunny. You know, if there's two clouds in the sky and you're in a good mood, it's like, why is it so conditional? Why can't I just have more damage?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So that's, we don't have to ramble for too much longer. We've been going for a little bit over an hour, but an hour, 12 minutes at this point. Dread, we've been talking about 1.1 refresh and the builds we recommend people explore. Even a challenge for people if they want to work with the Disintegrate. Is there anything else you want to toss on to the very end of this before we wrap it up?
No. Really, other than like, I'll see you in February, January
for 1.2 or something.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe
you know that meme where like Judd was like, I think the game's gonna get its real stride 1.4 or whatever. That's true. Closer now because they're combining 1.2 and 1.3.
Hey. So we should mention this. Like, I know you and I know this, but maybe people who aren't all plugged into Last Epoch don't know. Judd, CEO of 11th Hour Games, has said that he feels like Last Epoch is really going to hit its stride in patch 1.4. So, like, great. I would have hoped that 1.0 would be that point, but, you know, we are where we are.
Oh, my God.
So that's what he's looking forward to. And I guess if he's looking forward to it, then I'm going to look forward to it as well. It seems fine. I just, you know, I want the game to be good now because I'm a greedy little gamer. So, you know, that's it.
Okay, this is perfect timing.
Go on.
Another Reddit post that just posted 24 minutes ago. Has anyone cleared Aberroth with Disintegrate? Hi, all. Loving the Disintegrate changes that came about 1.1, but I'm reaching the end of the cycle, as well as we all are, and I don't think I'm going to get Aberroth. My gear is currently pretty great, and my build works and synergizes well, but it seems to me that Disintegrate is just too weak. It takes me two slams to pop his first ward breakpoint, and it also seems to be the fight where he's standing still is very rarely allowed. You know what? They did it for me. I don't have to talk about it. That's all you need to know.
Brutal.
Just like screen cap that, put it on the wall. So why is the same great bad? There you go.
Well, maybe next patch. We'll see.
All right, that's it.
That's it. Ship it. All right, so we're going to call it there. That was episode 55 of the Rat City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig. And listen, if you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify after the fact, let us know where you're watching or listening to this so we can make sure your viewing and listening experience is as good as possible. Dread, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come join us here. Appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time.
See ya.